made me happy.
Being that we've been forgiven for our sins, could you please describe 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Right. Well, that's called your works. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace through Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. Is there an accountability? Is there an expression to faith? When you're a believer, will your life reveal what you believed? That's what he's talking about. What he's talking about is everybody's going to stand before God and their life is going to reveal what they really believed. Like, you can say you believe in God, but your life reveals what you believe. The way you live is what determines what you believe. Are you guys following me? So he's not talking about you continuing to sin. We just covered it with water baptism. Actually, Romans 6 says you're to reckon yourself dead to sin. You're not waking up in the morning as a Christian trying not to sin. You're rejoicing that you're free from its power. One of the biggest mistakes the church makes is we think that our ability to fail defines us as failures. We think our ability to sin defines us as sinners. And then we're always trying to change ourselves and stop doing what he already accomplished. No, you wake up and recognize yourself as made right with God. Your heart's not to sin. Come on, you didn't come in this thing to find a way to miss it and get away with it. You come in this thing for change, true? So in the morning when we wake up, a good Christian heart isn't waking up saying, okay, I'm going to get it right today. I'm not going to sin today. Man, that's a sure way to be conscious of sin and feel like you're failing. You're not called to live sin conscious. You're called to live righteous conscious. You're called to wake up and rejoice every day in what he accomplished and what he did and how he made you to stand before him. Because if you do a Romans 6 and present your members unto God as righteous, it says you'll produce your fruit to holiness without trying to be holy. Does this make sense? So what Corinthians is talking about is every man's going to stand before God and make account for their life. So if I really believe God, my life will define what I believe. If I really believe he's a healer, I'm probably getting involved in people's lives and praying for the sick. And I'm probably believing and laying my hands on the sick because these signs follow those that believe. They lay their hands on the sick. So if you're not pursuing that or ever growing in that realm, it shows that you either don't understand, which results in don't know what to believe. So your life reveals what's going on inside. Does that make sense? And that's really what 2 Corinthians is talking about. It's not saying, look, you're all going to keep on just sinning and sinning. It's hard to talk about in the church because people think it's heresy. You'd be amazed what's possible if you keep yielding to the fellowship and person of Holy Spirit. He said, if you live by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Which sounds like God speaking heresy now. Come on, we have ourselves identified as perpetual failures. I've seen it too long in the church. People have a confession of sin and they're afraid to let grace make them what it paid for. And if we talk about it, whoa, blasphemy. Come on, to live in the flesh is death. To live in the Spirit is life and peace. And if you live in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so grace abounds? Of course not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? 1 Peter 2, he bore your sin and my sin in his body on a tree. Why? So we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, and by his stripes we are healed. Come on! That's the gospel! So I'm not waking up trying not to fail. I'm waking up enjoying that he succeeded and that he gave me great grace and it was his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And my days of striving, friend, are over. I'm not trying to earn a thing. He has given me the kingdom. So I'm just a good receiver. Come on, if he puts it under the tree, open it. Put it on. It'd be like you saying, whoa, what a great jacket. Awesome jacket. Oh, you shouldn't have. And then hang it on the rack and never wearing it. Nobody does that if they really think it's an awesome jacket. Now, you might say it's an awesome jacket to save face and cover bases and then let it hang on the rack. But I'm talking about an awesome jacket. Come on. So the gospel's good. Man, you got me happy now, guys. See, I love questions. Listen, I'm not being facetious and I'm not being mean. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. If you look at the average general countenance of the body of Christ and mentality, it indicts us and proves we don't understand the good news. We're letting our lives and circumstances become who we are instead of what he's been through become who we are. We're letting our life define us. We get told we have cancer and all of a sudden we become a dying man praying for help instead of a man in covenant with promises and life. We lose our job and all of a sudden we're laid off and can't pay our bills. Instead of in covenant, as fast as a door closed, the door can open because he's for me and not against me. And he loves me and he'll never forsake me. Yay for you, God. What would I do if I didn't have covenant with you? Probably be unemployed and scared. But thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And all of a sudden you don't even lose a wink of sleep and you're not even on a prayer chain. Hello? Come on. I've been saved 19 years. I've seen it my whole Christian life. Hey, man, how you doing? Well, keep me in prayer. I'm really going through it. Which is proven that we think we're only as good as we're going through instead of as good as he went through. My life's defined by him. The truth makes me free. It doesn't mean these things aren't facts around my life. I'm not in denial. I'm just refusing to let them define me if the truth about me is in him. Because only then can I pray from a pure heart. Only then can I let faith work through love. Because if that's not the case, you're only praying because you're scared half to death. You're not praying because you have covenant. You have faith because he loves you. Come on. That's just a good answer. Man, that's good. That's just awesome. It just works for me, Brian. Go ahead. I'm done, man. Next question. I'm ready. Bring them.